782 if you want to text me. That's sponsored by taxback.com. Or you can message us on WhatsApp on 087-4011-887. Now, the world's first commercial spacewalk was completed when a billionaire and an engineer have become the first non-professional crew to perform one of the riskiest maneuvers in space, a spacewalk. Jared Isaacman and Sarah Gillis stepped out of the SpaceX spacecraft around 15 minutes apart, wearing specially designed suits. To tell me more about this and next week's Harvest Moon Eclipse, I'm joined by regular All Things Astronomy commentator David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland magazine. David, you're very welcome, as usual, to Kilkenny today.
Thank you very much, Eugene.
Now, David, this particular spacewalk is truly historical, is it not?
It certainly is, because it's the first time a private company has done it. Before this, it's been state agencies with vast resources, like the Americans competing with the Russians during the space race back in the 60s. I was lucky enough to meet the Russian Alexei Leonov, who made the first spacewalk ever in 1965.
Wow.
An incredible character, and of course set an important milestone in space exploration. I mean, the Russians beat the Americans into space with Yuri Gagarin and with the first unmanned satellite Sputnik back in 57. Then they had the first spacewalk. There seemed to be no stopping them during the 60s until the Americans eventually leapfrogged them and handed the first man on the moon. Neil Armstrong, who I met as well, he told me he was proud to be Irish.
Okay. Okay. That's great stuff. Great stuff. That's lovely to hear that. Now,
Alexei didn't say that for some reason.
Now, David, this you talked about the states like NASA, you know, having huge resources and took time to everything. But this mission is one of three by SpaceX. And this one only took 3 years to put together compared to what NASA have done in the past. So while they don't have the same resources as the state do, they're able to do this a lot quicker, are they not?
Yeah, I've been stunned at the pace at which Elon Musk's SpaceX has been getting into space exploration. I mean, he's a young kid who is a geek, interested in astronomy, aren't we all? So, by the way, was Jeff Bezos, and so is Jared Isaacson. He's actually on record as saying, you know, he's been interested in space, and it's a good tale for any parents whose children are getting interested in space. They can end up going into commercial pursuits like Amazon and other things, that PayPal that Musk was involved in. Jared has another payments company as well. So it's, you know, it's a good training ground. And the spacecraft that Elon Musk company is building are literally out of this world. The new one that he says can take 100 people to Mars sounds absolutely crazy. But then he goes and launches it. Okay, it destroys the launch pad. The rocket motors are so powerful. But he's got a rocket more powerful than NASA ever built. He's got contracts to put people on the moon. Jeff Bezos isn't far behind either. And Isaacman hasn't said how much he paid for this second of three missions. But it must be in the hundreds of millions of dollars, because they're selling seats for $55 million on SpaceX manned craft already.
Yeah, and but the dreams that these people must have had, the likes of Elon Musk, the dreams they have must have been so solid that they could see what they were producing. They could see it in advance what they were producing, couldn't they?
Oh yes. I mean, the one thing that impressed me about this whole story is that less than 10 years ago, both Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos are standing on stage at a big space event, and they state, as now the world's two richest men, certainly up there in the top two or three, that they are going to put 1 million people on Mars by the end of the century. Now, if anybody else had said that, you'd think they were crazy. But these are the richest people in the world. They've got their own space companies. It's a childhood passion. What else are you going to spend your money on if that's what you want to do? And they've proved it with the nuts and bolts they've been throwing into space. And NASA wanted, in particular, to have the commercial sector produce their own rockets that they can sell to private companies who want to put up things like your Sky TV satellites, telecommunications satellites, other things that are not government-based, and then NASA could buy launchers from them. And it's proved that to be certainly a very rapid way of doing things, although we have to say the recent Boeing incident where the Starliner craft took two astronauts up and can't bring them back down, or they didn't want to risk bringing them back down, is a little bit embarrassing. But there have to be glitches along the way, and they erred on the side of safety as well. The craft actually landed automatically on its own pretty okay, as it was expected to do. It was just there was a tiny chance something could go wrong. So this new commercial era is a huge game changer for the future of space.
There's no doubt. And the dangers associated with this spacewalk cannot be overstated, because I was reading there, the SpaceX teams tried to mitigate the risk and prepare for every potential challenge through a barrage of tests ahead of the Polaris Dawn launch. Now, they even apparently took the spacewalk suits to a testing site at the White Sands Missile Range in New Mexico. There, the suits were struck by small pieces of debris traveling at orbital velocities to see how they could withstand the hits from micrometeorites. You know more about them than I would, I can tell you. But like the suits look more slimline than what we have used up to now.
And well, yeah, when I first saw the spacesuits on the first astronauts that went up on the Dragon spacecraft that SpaceX makes, I thought, are they just overalls, or are they really pressurized suits that if the cabin gets depressurized, they will survive, they can breathe in them. And they're full spacesuits, as you said, very slimline. I believe one of the movie people involved with Star Wars and other special effects like that helped to design them. And you know, they look totally different to NASA's spacesuits. You would wonder, could they work? But we've just seen them work. The two people who stayed inside, they were in their spacesuits as well. So four suits have successfully passed their testing. And you have to remember, I mean, it looks like they popped out of the spacecraft and had a look around, did a few tests, and popped back in for just a few minutes. But they were surrounded by death. There's a vacuum in space. If anything goes wrong with your spacesuit, you won't survive. And this billionaire, I think he's worth about $2 billion, put his life on the line to test these particular spacesuits. Now, as you said, they tested them well without people inside before they went up. But there's still always the unknown of actually doing it in reality, and with a living human inside.
For sure. And then, of course, they have a 5 or 6 day turnaround to come back, because they've only so much oxygen as well to stay up there for that 5 or 6 days. So it's not over until the fat lady sings, until they're back on Earth, isn't it?
Yeah, I think they're due back on Sunday.
Mm.
And in fact, I was trying to spot them in Irish skies this morning. They flew over very low in the south just before 6 a.m. We're out watching the planet Mercury at the time that's on view. But I couldn't see the spacecraft itself. You don't need to see it. You can get the pictures from online from their websites anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, to have all this happen in real time, it's going to be a great inspiration for young people as well.
No doubt about it. Now, David, turning to the eclipse, you say that we will want to stay up late. We should stay up late on Tuesday night, that's September the 17th, that's this Tuesday coming, to watch the harvest moon heading towards a partial eclipse after midnight in the small hours of Wednesday morning. Tell us what those who stay up and have clear skies might see.
Yeah, well, we've written a full article about it in Astronomy Ireland magazine, and the bottom line is you'll need to stay up till about 3 a.m. on Wednesday morning. The first bite gets taken out of the moon about 3:15, but for about a half an hour before that, you'll see the edge of the moon darkening, because the moon is skimming the Earth's shadow in space. There's nothing to see the Earth's shadow without there in space. There's no big white canvas for it to fall on, except the moon. So when the moon goes through the shadow, we get these eclipses. Only a small fraction of the moon will actually be in the eclipse, so the full moon is not going to turn blood red as it does in a total eclipse, but still very spectacular to the naked eye. If you've got a pair of binoculars, they'll give you a 10 times better view for practically no cost. That's the first telescope everybody should get. And if you go to Astronomy Ireland's website, astronomy.ie, follow us on all the social media, but if you sign up for the magazine, it's aimed at families and beginners, you'll immediately be emailed the article about the eclipse, and the magazine physically will arrive in the post a day or two later. So astronomy.ie, you've got plenty of time to get ready for the eclipse next Tuesday night, technically Wednesday morning. And it'll last just over 1 hour, so just after 4 a.m. So I'll certainly be up watching. Or just set your alarm clock and have a look. And if the weather forecast is bad, don't worry. You're looking at the full moon. Not only is it a harvest moon, it's a super moon, extra bright. And if anything can burn through the clouds, it's a full moon. And so just keep checking the skies.
Okay, and if anyone's waiting for a full eclipse, they need to wait until next March, isn't that right?
Yeah, there's typically eclipses every year, but sometimes we're in the wrong place, not facing the moon. And I think there was a 10-year period once when we had no eclipses. It was a bit of an eclipse desert. But fortunately enough, there's a few coming up for the rest of this decade. But you never know which ones are going to be clear, from Ireland especially, and which ones are going to be cloudy. So don't think I'll wait for the next one. You might miss the next 10, knowing the Irish weather.
Okay, and people can email their pictures if they get something on Tuesday, Wednesday night.
Oh, yeah.
And you can get more information on astronomyireland.ie, or you can get your hands
on... It's actually just astronomy.ie,
or you can get your hands on the Astronomy Ireland magazine by joining Astronomy Ireland. We leave it there. David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland magazine, thank you as always for joining me on Kilkenny Today.